Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups, or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it. Welcome back. If you are thinking about this path of a startup and you're thinking about, like, how do I beat the big guys? I mentioned about David versus Goliath in one of my most recent episodes talking about the DSO and a private practice. Then definitely check out my last episode where I talk about how to set yourself apart as corporate dentistry comes in. What are the distinctions that you can make as a private practice? So definitely check that out. Today, I have a special guest. Today, we are going to dive into kind of the behind the scenes when it comes to equipment purchases for startups. Joining me today is one of our senior advisors here at Ideal Practices, Steve Burns. Steve has over three decades of experience, folks. All things behind the scenes when it comes to equipment, construction, all the technology needed for startups. And what we want to be able to do is give you kind of a look behind the screen, behind the curtain, if you will. What goes on in terms of those elements? This is your second largest line item in your budget outside of construction, generally speaking, for a startup. How do you protect yourself? How do you make sure that things are in line with your budget? How do you make sure that you're not pushed towards a path where you're chasing maybe shiny equipment and things like that? And by all means, I'm not a proponent to say buy the cheapest equipment, spend the least amount. That's not a philosophy. But how do you make sure that you are protected and that fits in your budget and fits your clinical needs for your startup? So, very special guest joining me here today. Like I said, without further ado, Steve Burns. So, Steve, good morning. Looking great. How are things going? Love the swag.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to have the shirt. It is it's a beautiful day here in Florida. Like, you know, man, every day is a beautiful day in Florida for us, right?
That's right. You know,
Just wake up and it's sun everywhere.
It's a little warm. But we have air conditioning. Yeah. You know, that's all that. Matters.
What else do you need? But yeah, like you said, I mean, I've been dental. This is my 32nd year helping dentists in the dental industry. Explains my hairline. You know, the gray in the beard and stuff. It's just, but it's been fun. It's been a fun trip, just road to go down. And I just love helping dentists make those investments, help them, you know, get started and everything. And it's just exciting for me that this whole topic is just, you know, right in my wheelhouse. Love it.
100%. And for you to know, Steve has been a part of Ideal Practices for a number of years, but also speaks a lot at our events, but also he's a member of his church where he speaks. So, like, you've got not only a great mind, but a great speaker here that's going to deliver some good. So today we're going to talk about four big topics here when it comes to equipment to help you make those decisions, to help you align things from a budget perspective, to ensure that you're protected. Because, again, there's a lot of vendors that can be involved in this, making sure that your arms aren't pulled in a different direction, making sure that it aligns for your vision of your practice. That way you can start up with confidence. So let's jump into this real quickly here, Steve. I always hear about promotions. And I think manufacturers and everybody has, they say, oh, I got all these promotions. And I hear from time to time, like, you know, doctors are pulled in this direction of like, oh, well, wow, there's promotion. So explain, like, are promotions really promotions? Is it something that, like, no one can find? Go through a little bit about, like, manufacturers' promotions.
Sure. So promotions as far as equipment, it used to be like, if you went to a trade show, there'd be special promotions and stuff like right? Now, if you go to a trade show, pretty much you're getting whatever the standard promotion is already. Okay. Just so they just put a different name on the flyer and say, here's the show special for most part.
Different code.
Right? Yeah. It's like, ooh, this meeting and this special is like the same thing you see that's normal. Right. What a lot of folks don't know, though, is you can find out the promotion. It's not like some secret secret that you can't get the information. If you go to, like, the manufacturer's website, typically there's a link there to their promotions page. So you can go in and see what's going on, see what the promotions are, making sure that, you know, you see what's available to you.
Sure.
A lot of times you want to make sure you do that because, like, I had one last night. I was telling you about Dr. B. We were going through his stuff and comparing his equipment quotes. And one vendor was giving him all the discounts for the promotions, and the other guy was charging him for all the stuff. Okay. And it's like, okay. And I assume it's a clerical error. I always default to the better nature of people, right? But so I was able to, you know, send Dr. B, go, okay, here's a promotion sheet. I went to the website, sent it to him. Go, when you send it back your bid so they can revise it, send this with it. Okay. Yes. Like, you know what it is. So yeah, a lot of people don't know that they can see what the free goods are, what the promotions are. You know, handpiece maintenance stations are a big one. If you buy one, typically you get a handpiece. But if you don't know about the promotion, you can pay an extra $1,100, $1,200 you know, that you don't need to pay.
Yeah.
There is a caution with promotions, though, too.
Okay.
And I think this is really important to know. Sometimes the promotion isn't the better deal. So
is that kind of like going to the grocery store where they said, hey, it's five for like a dollar for like correct. A certain dollar figure. And you're like, but I don't need five of those. But wait a minute, the unit price is actually higher than the individual. Wait a second.
Absolutely.
I'm not really getting the deal on the bananas.
Right. There's some companies out there. It's like and they even market as a startup promotion for a startup practice. Right.
Right.
And you have to buy all these items. If you buy these items, you get the discount.
Right.
Well, that's great. But if you buy all those items, including this one particular one, you're actually going to pay more if you buy it from them versus, let's say, a cabinet, for example.
Right.
Well, the local guy could build it for a better price, and that better price actually saves you more than what you get on the promotion.
Ah, so promotions
aren't always the same.
Aren't always promotions.
Yeah.
In other words, it depends on, obviously, in other words, do your due diligence, like compare those prices, break things out, because sometimes, you know, like here's a lump sum, you know, like here's a dollar figure. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you break out the line items. That promotion isn't really saving you. It's maybe it's a promotion to, dare I say, sell something that they want to have sold. I'm kind of cagey here.
Increase that number on their books, right?
Gotcha.
It's like, oh, you sold this many X.
Understood.
In fact, what I would probably say is if the promotion requires you to buy something, ask the equipment rep to give you a bid without the promotion and with it.
Ah,
and
wise.
See if that purchase really equals out.
Yep.
Like the one I was talking about, with like a cabinet deal, I was able to save a client probably about 10 grand total on their budget by not doing the promotion.
Right.
If they did it, their equipment cost would have cost them 10,000 more overall for their budget.
Yeah, it's like the free gift that you get that's not really free. You're just paying for it. They just built it into
correct.
The price.
Okay. Correct. And like you said, sometimes they're just trying to push their product category because these guys get reported to each other by category.
Right.
And sometimes they're trying to up their, I want more camera sales. So we're adding this into the bundle and you got to do
the free camera deal. Love it. Avoid.
Absolutely.
Maybe don't just say free camera. It isn't really included. So awesome. Go. So look at those promotions. Really understand that. Hey there, Startup Dentist podcast listeners. It's Steven Trutter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200-plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. Let's talk about technology, because I think when most people think about equipment, they think about like chairs and units and lights and like the main dental equipment. But what about technology? Like, this is a obviously you've got to have it, whether that's you know, the infrastructure, the computers and all the hardware and software and everything that goes into that. But what is your advice when it comes to a startup practice when it comes to technology? Because this, I've having seen quotes years ago, and they can go all over the place in terms of the technology. Like, What is it? What kind of mindset should somebody have when it comes to the technology? Is it everything they need today? How do we approach technology?
Well, that's a great question. And with a startup, there's this thing called a budget we got to work with, right?
Yes. Yes.
That the bank's going to say, you get X, and yes, I hope you can do that, because that's right, all you're going to get, right? You can't go back to the well and they go, we'll give you, right? Right. So you've got that budget you got to work in. So with technology, if we're talking printers, if we're talking mills, if we're talking scanners, we need to have a phase mindset.
Okay. Okay.
And I give you a good example. If somebody wanted to eventually have either mill or printing in their lab, maybe we start out with just the scanning, intraoral scanning, and yep, then later on, as their practice grows, they get cash flow, then they'll add the other parts. Just cool. A note, talk to your accountant, it may actually be beneficial not to buy everything at once. Oh, because okay, as your practice grows and you have revenue, you're going to need to buy stuff to get your tax write-off or you're paying the IRS.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, because you have you're hurting yourself.
Once you become profitable, like, listen, I'm not an accountant or right, anything like that. But by all means, I kind of understand accounting. Like, you can't deduct if you don't have revenue. And right, once you have revenue and profit, then you can deduct against that. So there are some advantages of like phasing in technology right, and things like that. I think the other thing about phasing in technology, let's talk about like from an imaging perspective, because I talk about mm-hmm, a lot of this on like vision calls with our clients. And you know, we talk about this at the course, is CBCT and 2D in imaging and things like that, you phase into that. Also, does that mean nobody should have a CBCT? No, not at all. I think it's about like your clinical delivery, because if you can't utilize technology, I look at everything and say, if you don't utilize the technology to its fullest degree today, then don't buy it today. Because, you know, for some of these line items, these are big ticket technological items that cut into, well, where are you going to take it from? Well, can we take it from construction? Well, we can't take walls out. Are we going to take it from working capital? Maybe. Or that marketing line item looks expensive. So now, folks, what happens is if you start like buying big ticket items and that aren't necessarily in your budget for today, you may pull from things that are going to be really important to drive patients. So I think that phase in is that. What about in terms of like the budget and things like that, you know, in terms of technology? I'm not saying like, here's how much they should spend, but you mentioned a couple of things in terms of like, you know, like being able to bundle certain things and sure, there's some unique things that can exist.
Yeah, there's some things you can do. I think one of the things, especially with the phase mindset, is ask yourself, does this technology that I'm thinking about investing in, does it add value to my practice now?
Yep.
And does it add value to my patient that they're going to see? Now,
I talk about ideal patient a lot, and we talk about that all the time about like, does this enhance my patient experience? Yeah.
Right. And if it doesn't hit those two, maybe that's something we wait on.
Yeah.
Right. Because let's face it, we're all people. We have stuff that we want, and we have stuff that really we need that goes with our values. Right. We need to have that up front, but there's this other cool stuff we want. Yeah. Right.
I think about like same day crowns sometimes too. Like doctors, you know, we have clients, oh, I want to do same day crowns. Well, as a startup, you may have a limited amount of people in your practice, not just patients, but like actual employees. Do you have time to sit at a mill and mill that out while trying to see patients? And you've got one or two other staff members or team members that can't really do that. And that's a big ticket item. And especially with some of that technology that's moving at light speed, what does that technology look like a year or two or 3 years from today? To do that. And, you know, as a dental patient myself, like I do go see the dentist, a same day crown sounds great, but 99% of the patients that sit in a chair, they don't know what a same day crown even is, or does it even exist, or what is the benefit on the long term. So like things like milling, I'm not saying like, again, I think milling is great. I think the CAD/CAM technology, awesome. I think phase in is a big thing about like, what do you need today to open your doors? What can your patients benefit from? And making sure, I think the other big thing is making sure it doesn't restrict your clinical ability, because you don't want to like inhibit like your skill set if you're able to do, you know, all in four, all in X type of clinical delivery. You need that kind of technology that can support that. Or, you know, you're an endodontist, like, well, you can't really live without a microscope. So like, even that's a kind of a quote unquote big ticket item for a specialist, but it's a necessity for like from an endo perspective.
Yeah, you have to have that. And so a marketable thing would probably be an intraoral scanner.
Sure.
Because 100%. You can market it as no gag impression. You know, something that patients would go, okay, that makes sense, right?
Yep.
It saves you on lab time, some stuff like that. So that makes sense. Like you said, the printing or the milling, that's really kind of a phase two.
Yep.
You know, something you're going to grow into. Now, we still have that budget thing we got to work with, right?
Yeah, you keep on saying that.
So how do you do that? Yeah. I live in the budget. You know, I mean, we have this budget tool we use with our clients. And
it's numbers.
If you're on a call with me, we're in the budget tool. That's where we live for every call, okay?
That's right.
But with the budget, there are some opportunities maybe. Like there's some lab companies that will provide you an intraoral scanner.
Yeah.
If you do so much work with them. So if it's a lab that's equal to the quality that you like, and that's an option for you, there's some ways like that to bring the technology into your practice that maybe still fits within your budget. So there's always some things that you can work through with that, but you gotta have a phase mindset. This isn't, hey, we're going to get everything right now and start out. You got to be thinking about it.
Yeah. And that phase is also even for the other equipment as well, like phasing in. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You don't equip all your rooms and things like that. And most people probably know that. But like if you're going to, if you have a 6 treatment room facility, like unless like you're unique where you have that kind of pull of patients already, or you're moving current patients over and it's a large number, like you're not, again, for everyone's listening, like you're not equipping all those rooms. So also like, you know, that's where that budget comes into play. On technology and things like that.
Well, and great example, I was talking to Dr. B last night, and his budget's a little weird with how he has his approval. And so he's got some money, which makes me happy. I don't have to have heart palpitations. It's awesome. But and we had the conversation of, do I want to equip more rooms than we normally start with? And it's like, let's talk through this, because once again, the tax implications of that, you don't get your write-off. You got equipment that's sitting there collecting dust and the warranty period's already
started. Yeah.
You know, is there a real advantage for your practice to add more equipment than you need right now? And you brought up a great thing with the
milling. Once you get booked out like 2 to 3 weeks, you know, out, then you can add a chair.
Yeah. And with milling, you got to have a person. That's a staff person you got to pay, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know how we start out with staff. You're not going to have the budget to start out with a person just to sit in around the mill. Do your staining, do your glazing, do all that stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It definitely comes into the budget.
It's not just a budget. And it's not just a budget in terms of the hardware, but it's also the people budget that needs to be factored into some of those items that may require an additional team member to help really move those things along. So
it's amazing how they will talk about the technology, but forget to mention how much you're going to have in labor costs. Never fails. They forget to bring that part up.
You just need to hire some people. So.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah. This will be great for you, but we forgot to tell you you're going to have to hire some.
All right. Big consideration when it comes to technology. So awesome. Love it. Yep. I've bought plenty of cars in my life, and one of the most excruciating processes that I ever have is going to a car dealership. I need to explore some of these online people where it's like, cool, there's my car and just drop it off at my house. Or what's that one company? Is it Carvana or something like that? I can't remember. Where it was like, it's almost like a vending machine. A car's like, yes, I want a number 5. And like car lowers and like you just walk out. I would love that. Same thing kind of holds true when it comes to equipment. So most of you that are going to start up a practice or even acquire or just buy equipment, you probably want to test drive it. You probably want to say, like, how does this work? What are my ergonomics? You go to showrooms. Okay, showrooms. Could be a tricky situation, Steve. We hear stories. I think you had a client, like, the other night texting you saying, oh, my gosh, I think I'm being sold a bunch of stuff. I'm not bad-mouthing what happens, but there could be some sharks in the water. So, okay, talk to me about showrooms. So what kind of showrooms are there? What happens? How do we avoid certain things from happening?
So, we've taught a showroom's a showroom. So if you get nervous about going to a car showroom, it's going to happen with equipment as well. Because let's face it, the people you are with are there. They're paid to be there to sell you stuff. That is their job. Okay. Yes. That's what their employer expects from them is to sell you stuff.
The ivory tower says
that's why they're hired.
Here's your widget. Sell more of these.
Right. Widgets. That's why they have the showroom. Is not to just show you stuff, but they want to sell you stuff, okay? So there's two kinds of showrooms. There's more of an educational type, and these are a lot of the dealer showrooms where you're going to have multiple brands, multiple manufacturers, different categories. Okay. And it's a little bit more of an educational process. Gotcha. Let's compare A to B, you know, let's take a look at these things, right?
Because the dealer, most dealers, if everyone's kind of listening here, like dealers have multiple manufacturers that they are repping, basically. Right. So, you know, line A, line B, line C. So the doctors can go there and say, oh, I can look at these three different manufacturers, right?
Okay. Right, right. Now, the interesting part about that is if you go to a dealer showroom and there's only like two brands of chairs, a lot of these dealers, in order to be a dealer for an equipment manufacturer, just a little behind the scenes from the corporate level, right?
All right.
Like in order to be a dealer, in order to be a dealer for a manufacturer, typically with those distribution agreements comes a target of what they have to sell for, okay, of that brand. So let's say brand M says, we're going to distribute for you, but you got to sell X.
Okay.
Right?
So there's an incentive to sell a certain manufacturer. Okay.
So the guys at the in the tower are carrot and sticking, I like to call it. They're people in the field, the sales, right?
Right.
If you do so much of this brand, you get this bonus. If you don't do so much of this brand, you don't get this bonus.
Okay. So the carrot is you sell X amount carrot. If not, then they're kind of the stick.
They're going to hit towards the stick. Okay. So sometimes you'll go to a showroom and there'll just be a couple of brands, and I'll let you pick out just common sense which brands they get the bonus from. Okay. Let's just say it that way. Okay. Right. Now there are some dealer showrooms that have like 18 to 20 different chairs. They're just showing you everything. And that's great educational, but there's always that carrot stick there with the dealer side. Okay.
Understood.
Now there is the other showroom, and this is the manufacturer showroom.
Okay.
One line. That's all you're going to get. Okay. And that's what we were talking about the other day. And I told the client before she went, Dr. A, I go, look, here's the deal. When you go, it's going to be high pressure. Okay.
Yeah.
Because these manufacturer reps, you're not a manufacturer rep and say, okay, I like my product. You're a Kool-Aid drinker. I mean, this is your product, right? You're going to sell it, right?
Yep.
And I just kind of share that with the client before they go. And I go, look, worst case scenario, all you got to do is if they try to push you to make a decision, go, I got to talk to Steve. Okay. Here's your out. Just tell them that.
Is there like a red phone or like, an eject sheet? Like, my gosh, help.
Yeah, I mean, they were doing the soft clothes, the assumptive clothes with their, do you want it in this color or this color?
Oh,
you know,
wow.
The little assumptive clothes. It was really great. And she's texting me after about 4 hours of being there. And this is the text I got. Steve, you were right. It's like, and then we talked later when she got back to the airport and stuff. And it's like, this is, you know, they were really pushing this product and how you should only use theirs. And one thing when you go to a manufacturer showroom, you're never going to hear is them talk good about a competitor's product.
Well, right.
Because they're going to share their stuff, right?
Yeah. Like you go, I mean, colors are a little bit different because it's like, but there's companies, you know, that there's, you know, like big companies that like, hey, they have four or five different dealerships, but Ford, the manufacturer isn't going to say, man, the Chevy Silverado is really great this year.
Right. You know? Right. And being a Ford guy, the Chevy Silverado is never good. So,
the Ford guy is going to say Chevy's a piece of, you know what? So
it's all about the Ford.
Understood.
Ford. Yeah. Absolutely. But just know that when you go in, there's still good educational value there to see the product.
Yeah.
But you just want to leave yourself that opportunity to go, okay, let me think about this. Let me get back with you. Just know that when you go to the showrooms, they're there to sell you stuff.
Yep.
So you got to kind of control that process of show me more. Let me see what other options we have. Right.
Look at that from we talk about this at our course called, I don't know if everyone knows, like we have a 2-day course called Startup Practice Blueprint. We talk about it, the tiers of equipment. I don't want to go like down that rabbit hole, but we talk about the tiers. And it's funny because we're talking about cars. We talk about tiers of equipment. Steve, you talk about tiers of equipment in terms of like cars. We have like, you know, it's like the base model Honda. And then you've got like the, you know, like the Lexus. And it's like, okay, now we got the Porsches or the Teslas and of the world and things like that. Equipment is kind of built that way. So from the advantage of a distributor or a dealer is you can kind of look at all those different tiers, right? In terms of like, and those tiers are based upon like, what are the features? What is the comfort? So as you start to purchase equipment, don't just say, I want the cheapest or the most expensive. Right. There might be a lot of things in the middle that's like, hey, listen, you know, a Honda Accord, I mean, you know, you can get moonroof and leather and that, and you can, right, you know, weld the hood shut for 100,000 miles and never have to put anything in it, and it can run forever. So there might be a lot of those elements that are there. The dealer gives you that. The dealer showroom, especially some of the bigger dealer showrooms, will show you those different lines based upon, I would say, tiers. Your budget-friendly items, more plastic pieces, maybe some durability challenges, warranty and things like that, got to look at, and in your high-end stuff. So I think the punchline here when it goes to a showroom is, whose showroom am I going to? Somebody that's just saying, here's what we, is it a dealer that says, we have two lines, pick? Is it a manufacturer that says, well, this is who we are, buy this? Or is it a dealer that says, hey, let's walk through and see what really fits for you? I like that. I think I like that third option, you know, in terms of that.
That's a better way to go. But
cool.
Just want to prep them before they go to the other ones. To know, know what you're in for. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Cool. My last topic here for the day is, I call it the buddy system, the vendor buddy system. Okay, so you're in the marketplace. Okay, everybody, you're going to be buying equipment. There's the contractors. There's the technology people. We've seen it. Heck, I lived in the world before. Steve, you've lived in the world of sometimes it feels like these people kind of get grouped together, like this equipment person, this contractor, this what happens sometimes behind the scenes with the buddy system? And so, this, folks, is for the control. This is what may happen. So you were talking about a client not too long ago, like that had maybe kind of a buddy system going on.
Yeah. So having been on the dealer side in the sales, arena, right? I had what we called professional network. So I had like brokers that I would refer to or contractors I would refer to. And of course, they would refer back to me. You know, it's a buddy system, right? I refer you refer me. And that was great for me as a sales guy, right? So for me, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But what it does is it, for the client or for the doctor, it really limits them. And the one you were talking about, Dr. C., she was a little bit further in the process when she came on board with us.
Yep.
And her broker introduced her to the contract buddy, who the contractor buddy introduced the equipment buddy.
Right.
And it makes it seem like, oh, this is a great team. They work together. Yeah. So I want to go with.
And it could be. And they could be a good team. They really could be. Like, folks, we're not bashing like these people. It's more like they could be a great team.
Yeah, but it also, you're not seeing your options, right? So you could end up paying a couple, 20, 30,000 more for construction. You can end up paying more for your equipment. In fact, one of the great examples we always like to talk about is the cabinets, right?
Oh, yes.
So typically your contractor is going to provide what's called your general cabinetry. It's everything but your treatment rooms and the sterilization, right? And they can also provide that, but a lot of times in these buddy relationships, they won't even tell you they can do the sterilization and treatment rooms because of their equipment buddy. And they don't want to hurt that relationship.
Yep.
So if you ask them, they'll quote it. But if you don't ask them, they won't mention it. And
cabinetry
can cost you a lot. Yeah.
I remember one from a number of years ago, $20,000, $30,000. Like, okay, folks, it's real money. And again, that doesn't apply to every market everywhere, but it's like, it kind of gives you a glimpse behind the scenes of like, I don't think anybody is nefarious. I don't think there's nefarious people. I think what we're saying is it feels great. Like you will have a team. You will need to make a choice of one contractor. You will need probably make the choice. You may be able to break out equipment with a couple of different dealers and things like that. I usually don't recommend like trying to partition out every part of your equipment, but you will have like mostly single people in certain roles. You need to have a team. Just make sure that you look at the options of the team, right, Steve? Like it comes down to like, okay, I have team one over here. Well, wait a minute. Could equipment person A work with contractor B? Well, they could, but I want to make sure like, can these all mirror up?
What's interesting with those relationships is they're really tight until you say, I want to work with somebody else outside your team. And then everybody, it's like, eat your young kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, you don't have to use this equipment guy, says the contractor. That's fine, right? Because what the contractor is interested in is he wants the contract for the construction. The broker wants the release. The equipment guy wants the equipment order.
Right.
So they're really tight until they think they're not going to get something, and then it's everybody for themselves, right? But yeah, it's just because they deal with each other, there's a professional referral relationship.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
It's not always the best for you. I'll give you an example for Dr. C. The equipment rep that she was introduced to, she didn't click with. They weren't communicating well. It wasn't a good fit.
We talk about that a lot. Like that, what is that connection? Because that person is somebody that needs to be like a point, like plays a role, obviously.
Yep. And then by introducing another equipment rep, she's found somebody, two other people she's talking to that, you know, she's deciding between which one's going to be best for her. Yep. And the professional network, those guys are okay with whoever she picks, right? So they're not pushing it. So you want to make sure. You know, most folks, like, you know, Stephen, are spending $750,000, $800,000+ here, right?
Yeah, total.
You want to make sure that your team is somebody you feel comfortable with, that you can communicate with, so you know what you're signing those checks for and who you're giving them to.
Yeah, and 100%.
Last thing you want, like, you know, is you don't want an adversarial role with your team. You want the team to be on. There's enough stress in doing that, right? Yeah. You don't need your vendors, that relationship, to be causing action.
Well, so keep in mind, like, you as the client, you as the doctor, like, folks, if you're as you're listening here, you're the buyer. Like, this is your project.
Right.
This is your budget. This is what you're spending. This is your life. And yes, you need these people. You need to make sure that they're the people that you can trust, that you can put the faith into to do their part as a part of the project. They all play a role. And sometimes in these buddy systems and, you know, things like that, like, you may feel like you're being kind of pulled. So the other thing is, think about this. People get loose lips in marketplaces sometimes. I love how people are like, oh yeah, I know Dr. So-and-so. I know Dr. So-and-so. If you, I talk about this in my book. I talk about this on the podcast. I talk about the peanut gallery. Like, the peanut gallery is going to give you all their advice. But the other thing that happens sometimes with peanut gallery, especially in this network sometimes, is people get a little chatty because you may be an associate for this practice and you don't want your employer to know, then you need to keep that quiet, you know, and really have those people that can trust, because a lot of times what happens in the interest of building a relationship, sometimes these representatives of these companies will say, oh yeah, I know so-and-so, and they're at a dental society meeting. Oh yeah, I'm working with Dr. So-and-so. I think they believe it's like they're building credibility. It's what they're doing. They're building credibility. Like, I've done these projects. They just leaked your name. And then that person, and then all of a sudden a contractor calls you and says, oh, wait a minute. Like, then the technology rep calls you, and then the bank person calls you. Next thing you have four or five people talking about your name in your marketplace.
Right.
You're losing some control into those discussions. And then you're going to be kind of, I'm put on this team. Maybe you don't want to be on that team. Or B, something may leak out that you don't want to have leaked out to an employer. That then you have to have a tough conversation on Monday when your employer goes, hey, so I heard at the dental society meeting on Friday night at that mixer, sounds like you may be talking to some people to start up a practice. So folks, that happens. Oh, so you need to make sure, like, mum's the word, keep your mouth shut, and you know, pick who you feel like is going to be the right fit for you.
Absolutely.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome stuff. Hey, everybody. I'm going to end it there, Steve. Hey, so I mentioned this course. I talked about Startup Practice Blueprint. This is a 2-day immersive course. We do only twice a year. We do it in October and in April. We kind of go back and forth different markets. If you've never been to one of our courses and you want to hear from great experts like Steve and other people, 2 days with 30 other like associates like you that want to know more about what is the path of a startup, to learn more about is the startup path right for you, then go to www.startuppracticeblueprint.com, register for our next event. We have our next event coming up in October. I know we're like seats are filling up, but check that out. And if you want to get more immersive on this, Steve, thank you for being here. Like, folks, like, you are to be able to have time with this guy. It's amazing. He flies over the country guiding clients. He is on job sites. He is a wealth of knowledge. I'm glad we were able to pull him in here just for a little bit of time. Steve, thank you for the wisdom that you laid down here today.
No, it's great to be here. I'm hoping to see some of our friends here that are watching this in October when we have our event, and just helping them, you know, make their dream happen. Get to that next step. So that'd be great.
Love making the dream happen. Well, cool. All right, that's a wrap. Don't forget to check out the show notes for any links and resources that we talked about today. Next time, I have another special guest. Next time, we're going to talk about building business systems. You're a dentist. Some of those muscles maybe you've never exercised before is, okay, how do I make the transition from associate to business owner? How do I have protocols and systems So I truly have a business that launches. We're going to dig in there. So I will see you there, and can't wait to chat with you more. See ya. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.